Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our God and Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation is recording the sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning at the 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, especially our confirmands, occasionally someone will ask me, what does it cost to be a member of the church? What does it cost for the member for the church to perform various services like a marriage or a baptism or a burial? It seems people have the idea that if you are willing to pay, no matter who you are, that the church is going to perform the service for you. But unfortunately, that's not the way it works. And yet, we can say there is a cost of being a Christian, a cost of being a member of the church. And the price is really quite high. The price has been set for us by God. And God wants us to dedicate our life to him. He wants us to live as a Christian every day, to live in thanksgiving to God for having sent Jesus to die in our place, to be our Savior, to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven those sins, and as a result that we could receive from God the gift of love, the gift of salvation, and live with our God in heaven. Now, when you and I begin to realize the greatness of that gift that God gives us in the forgiveness of our sins, the only response we have is to come before God with thanksgiving and a desire to dedicate our life, to live in it in his service, to live as his children, children of faith. That's the cost of being a Christian, of being a child of God, being a member of his church. The cost is our life. We must, with God's help, stand fast. Our faith, our hope for eternal life rests solely in the love of God in Christ Jesus. Our works, no matter how good you and I might be, fall far short of the holiness that God desires for us. And our text tells us how we can achieve that goodness of God. We can do it by letting God make us strong, letting God dwell in our hearts. We're to put on that whole armor of God, and then we'll be able to stand. And it tells us that the battle, we're in a war. The battle that we have is not some little childish fight in the backyard and in the playground someplace, but the battle is for our eternal life. And the devil is going to use any and every means he can to keep us away from that, to get us to fall into sin. And so there's a war that we are involved in as Christians, a war against sin and evil. And the devil tries at every effort to get us that way, to fall from God's love, to fall into sin. At times he uses our friends. At times he even uses members of our own family to try to lead us astray and get us into sin. And that's why God has equipped us. He's equipped us, he says, with the whole armor of God. We are like an army, a soldier in God's army. And so we've been equipped with that whole armor of God so that we can fight the devil and his allies. But we never can lay aside that armor of God, even for a moment. Because if we do so, the devil will attack us unprepared. And what is that armor that God has given to us? He says, first of all, he gives us the belt of truth. We must tell the truth. You and I must be a people of truth. We must speak the truth in love. Be servants of the truth. We can't be a bearer of falsehood or half-truths. We cannot dare to be a gossiper. Instead, the Christian, each and every one of us, must have a reputation of being a truthful people. And so we have to have that belt of truth around us at all times. Now, in a war, if a soldier can't fight very well with his pants falling down because he doesn't have a belt. And the same thing is true of Christians. We can't fight very well against the sins and the temptations to sin in the world if our pants are falling down, so to speak, because we are known as a liar. We have a reputation of not telling the truth, a reputation of being a person of falsehoods and gossip. Those are obstacles to our faith, and we can't fight Satan very well then. And the next thing we need is the breastplate of righteousness. We have to have over us, covering us, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His righteousness is able to stop all the arrows and the taunts of the devils. By ourselves, we're mortal. By ourselves, we have nothing. Our devil knows that our righteousness is like filthy rags. And so if the devil can get us to look to our own self and to our own goodness, is that what's going to save us? He knows that he can destroy our faith very quickly. But if we have on us the righteousness of Christ and we put our trust in Jesus, then we are protected and we are safe. And then we need to wear the shoes of peace. We're not here to war against one another. Instead, we are to wear the shoes of peace. We're to be a peaceful people. But we don't achieve peace by compromising the truth. We also don't achieve peace by compromising God's word. And so we need to be a peace-loving people through love. But at times that love that we demonstrate as a peace-loving people is what we call a tough love. It's a love that demands adherence to the truth of God's word. Now again, it's been said that the army with the best boots is going to win the war. And so you and I, we need to wear the boots that God has given to us, the boots of peace, if we're going to overcome the assaults of Satan. Then take the shield of faith. Many times the devil's going to attack us when we're sleeping and unawares. But if we have ourselves covered with the shield of faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can overcome those unexpected assaults. And then wear the helmet of salvation. Once again, God is there to protect us from the devil's assaults. And so as you can see, what God has given us when he gives us this whole armor of God is those are all defensive weapons. All of these that we've described are defense weapons. Faith, truth, peace, salvation. They're all gifts from God. But we need to hold them close to us, have them ready at all times so that God can protect us. But then he does give us an offensive weapon, a weapon that we can fight with, and that is the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our offensive weapon, the Word of God. And the better you and I know the Word of God, the more we have that Word of God in our hearts and on our minds, the better we are able to fight off the devil's temptations. But neglect the Word. Neglect the word and the devil will find you an easy prey. But with the word of God and faith, you can send the devil packing. The devil cannot stand against God's word. He'll try to turn and to twist the word of God in order to deceive us in many different ways. But if we know the word of God, then we can say, but thus says the Lord. And when we say, "Thus says the Lord," and we know that word of God, the devil must go packing. Then finally, we would arm ourselves with prayer. Now, prayer isn't an offense weapon. It's not a defensive weapon. Prayer is our communication system. It's our system, our link to our commander-in-chief. The commander-in-chief who is able to send us reinforcements and give us guidance as to how to fight the battle that's before us. And so a communication system is very vital in fighting a war. It enables the army to coordinate its efforts and its forces in the battle. And the same is true in this spiritual battle that we are in with Satan and his allies. And so we're to use prayer frequently. Keep in touch with our commander and chief, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now our confirmants, they've been trained in the use of this whole armor of God. They've completed, to use a military term, basic training. But to use that military term, then also like the National Guard. The National Guard goes and has their basic training, but then they come home. But they need more training, and they need to keep that training that they've got sharp and be on alert. And so they have their drills on a regular basis, and they have their couple weeks or more a year that they go for a special camp to keep up the drills and keep themselves sharp and alert and ready to use those tools that they have. And the same is true of us. Our confirmands have completed their basic training in their confirmation class. But that's not the end. In a sense, it's only the beginning. They need to also, just like the National Guard, go to those weekend drills. Well, that weekend drill is our worship service. It's our Bible classes. It's our youth meetings. Then we need to spend time with God in prayer, reading our Bible in our homes, faithfully and regularly receiving the Lord's Supper in order to keep this armor of God sharp. And so don't think your training is done. In a sense, it's only begun. And another thing we need to remember is the devil hates confirmations. He really hates confirmations because confirmation shows the devil that the church has been able to recruit and to train another group of soldiers to fight against the devil. But the devil knows that these confirmants are new recruits. They're sort of green yet. They're not battle-tested, okay? There's a lot of battle before them. And because of that, the devil zeroes in on confirmants in the first few years after confirmation. He zeroes in on them of hoping to lead them astray while they're still young. And the result is, over the next few years, he's going to use every tool in his handbook to try to get you to sin. He's going to use your boyfriends and your girlfriends to lead you to immorality and to drunkenness. He's going to lead you to think that the way to achieve power and success and money and pleasure is to tempt you to achieve that at the expense of the truth of God's word and honesty, to try to find it in a different way. He's going to use any means he can to keep you from worshiping God, to keep you from your prayers, to keep you from studying God's word. But if you resist those efforts over the next number of years, those temptations may change. They change as we get older, and different temptations. But there's always temptations. The devil, as we get older, comes to us with jealousy and envy. He comes to us with many other kinds of temptations to evil. And so we're never free of his temptations. And so we must resist them all by keeping the armor of God on and keeping ourselves sharp and ready to use that battle at any time. We can liken that battle also to the battle against addiction. Many people are familiar with that battle against addiction. But we, you and I, we're addicted to sin. And just like the alcoholic who is addicted to alcohol, we need help to overcome that. Now, the alcoholic who wants to overcome his addiction to alcohol will go into a treatment center for a period of time. But then when he comes out of that treatment center, he's told that every day he needs to pray to God to give him the strength to overcome that temptation to drink for that day. And then he finds it necessary for himself to regularly attend the AA meetings in order to fight that addiction and to encourage his brother alcoholics and sister alcoholics to overcome that. Now, I've been told by recovering alcoholics, some who had over 30 years of sobriety, that as soon as they start seeing one of the members of the AA group starting to miss meetings on a regular basis, they know that it's not very long and that person is back drinking. Now, you and I, we're addicted to sin. We've gone through a treatment program, which is our confirmation class. But we too, we need to daily pray to God to overcome our addiction to that sin. And we need to pray that God would give us the strength to overcome that addiction to sin. And then we need to regularly attend those meetings where we can hear the Word of God preached and taught and be strengthened in that Word of God to resist the devil. But where we can also encourage one another, encourage our classmates and encourage our parents and others by our presence to overcome that addiction to sin and to rely upon God and the tools that God has given to us. And so we remain faithful. Faithful unto death so that we can receive the crown of life. Each and every one of us today needs to renew our baptism and our confirmation vows. Each and every one of us needs to put on again today that whole armor of God so that each of us can stand firm in our faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and encourage one another to fight the good fight of faith and in the end receive the crown of life from our Lord and Savior. And may God give us the ability to so fight that faith and live as his children each day of our life so that we can rejoice with our Savior forever in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Service will continue as we bring our offerings unto the Lord.